Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, is brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK.
Coming up on this week's show, Upfront talks to award-winning filmmaker Spike Lee about the 30th anniversary of School Days. He talks candidly about the film's inception, the music, and some of the behind-the-scenes moments. Spike also talks about his upcoming anniversary screening for the film at the Fox Theater that's taking place on this Monday, February the 19th. It's a Spike Lee takeover here at Upfront. I'll also be playing music from the film throughout the show, but first, here's this week's casting buzz and entertainment news with Reva Blue.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Central Casting is looking for a DJ with experience working with vinyl and an old-fashioned mix station. The scene is for the new own series Love Is and takes place at a nightclub in the late 1990s. The DJ equipment will be provided and you must have the experience and a hip look. Men and women DJs are encouraged to apply. If this is you, please submit a current photo along with a brief summary of your DJ experience and contact information to loveis@centralcasting.com. The scenes will be shot sometime after February 23rd. In other related entertainment news, in theaters this weekend is Marvel's Black Panther. The movie follows T'Challa after the death of his father, the King of Wakanda. He returns home to the isolated, technologically advanced African nation to succeed to the throne and take his rightful place as king. However, he is met with opposition from Eric Killmonger. The film stars Chadwick Boseman, Lupita Nyong'o, and Michael B. Jordan and is directed by Ryan Coogler. TV One presents a new season of Unsung beginning tomorrow night at 9 p.m. and features Atlanta's own R&B quintet, Silk. Unsung tells the stories of perseverance, determination, and success through firsthand accounts of the artists who experienced it and takes viewers into the lesser-known challenges they endured behind the spotlight. Go to WCLK.com to see the other artists profiled. That's this week's Casting Buzz and Entertainment News. I'm Reva Blue.
Support for WCLK programming comes from Arts at Tech, presenting Rebirth Brass Band of New Orleans, formed in 1983. The group celebrates traditional New Orleans music with funk, hip-hop, jazz, and soul. The band performs on February 24th at the First Center for the Arts. Hosted by me, Jay Edwards, I will host a pre-show discussion. Ticket information is available at 404-894-9600 and online at arts.gatech.edu.
This is Jasmine Guy, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
February 12th marked the 30th anniversary of Spike Lee's iconic film, School Days, and Upfront caught up with the legendary filmmaker to chat about the movie and much more. This is an Upfront exclusive you won't hear anywhere else.
Well, good morning, Spike Lee, and welcome to Upfront. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Yeah? So happy to have you here at the Upfront Studios. This is amazing. I cannot believe that you're actually... here, but we're going to be talking about...
Well, I was here back when I had a radio show on CLK, had a jazz show and weekends disco. So I'm...
this is home for you.
Yes. I mean, even though I graduated from Morehouse, the fact remains, I was a mass comm major here at Clark College. It was before the merger with AU. Mass comm being print journalism, TV, radio... something else, and film. And right here to my left is my professor, Dr. Herb Eichelberger, the one who encouraged me to be a filmmaker.
Yeah. Let's talk about that relationship, because whenever your name is mentioned around these parts, it's always mentioned with Dr. Eichelberger. So how,
as it should be.
Yeah. How instrumental was he in helping you in your film career?
Dr. E, as we call him, was very instrumental. He was the one that encouraged me to be a filmmaker. The story is this. I went back to New York for the summer 1977, the summer between my sophomore and junior year. Went back to New York, the infamous summer 1977. New York City was broke. No summer jobs. and went to my friend's house. Her name is Vieta Johnson. I mean, she was always smart. Went to Stuyvesant High School, which is the smartest public high school in New York City, and went to her house one day. And in her living room, there was a box, and I asked her, what is that? She said, it's a spray camera. I said, where's the other box? She said, that's a film. That's the film cartridge for the Super 8 camera. So I said, can I have it? She said, take it. So I spent the whole summer. Now I have something to do for the summer. I spent the whole summer running around with the Super 8 camera. It was, why was it infamous? Well, because of the heat. The heat was crazy, and Con Edison went on the blink, so it was a blackout. So I had footage of the blackout. The summer of 77 was the first summer disco, so every weekend, every block had a block party where the DJ was hooking up their turntables and speakers to the street lamp and stuff like that. And it was also even crazier because of this psychopath called Son of Sam, David Berkowitz. So I had all this footage. I brought back to Atlanta to begin my junior year. Also, I declared my major because I had not declared a major. I said, I'm going to do mass comm, and Dr. Herb Eichelberger, he encouraged me to do something, make a film out of the footage I had shot that previous summer. And the film turned out to be called Last Hustle in Brooklyn. I showed it to my class, got a favorable response, and then I knew that I would be a filmmaker.
Yeah. So let's go back to the beginning. We're talking about the 30th anniversary of School Days, which was February the 12th. And I can't believe it's been 30 years. I mean, when I mention it, people are like, wow, 30 years? It's been that long?
Time waits for no one.
But what was, you know?
Time waits for no one.
You're right. We know that it's kind of loosely based on your experience here.
No, it's not. I mean, School Days is my 4 years here in the AU Center, jam-packed into a homecoming weekend.
Okay. Wow. And where did, like, when you were done with She's Gotta Have It, where did that idea just, hey, I want to do this film about?
I wrote the original script for School Days. It's called It's Homecoming. It was written before I wrote the script for She's Gotta Have It, but I just couldn't raise the money for it, so I had to do something. I knew it was going to cost $3 to $4 million for that one, and didn't have the money, couldn't raise it. She's Gotta Have It only cost $175,000. So once She's Gotta Have It became a hit, then I went back to do the dust off. That script was called It's Homecoming, which was turned out to be School Days.
Yeah. What was the climate here at the AU Center at the time that you decided to go ahead and shoot the film?
What do you mean?
Just in terms of, you know, because when I think about the 80s, for me, I was like, oh, God, I was in elementary school, middle school, but it was almost kind of like the height of the HBCUs. I mean, everybody, you know, wanted to go to an HBCU. You know, you always had the Campus Queens of Ebony magazine. So it was
nah,
really
that popular. That happened after the movie came out. That happened after the movie. Because today, people come to say, I went to Howard, I went to this school, that school, because of School Days. And I didn't even know there was a thing of black colleges. So that came after the film came out.
Yeah. So I got to ask
And also, what was the TV show?
A Different World.
A Different World.
Yeah. That's what I was going to get to. So you featured three of the actors, Jasmine Guy, Kadeem Hardison.
The same Robbie Reed cast School Days. She was hired to cast A Different World.
Okay.
She selected the same people.
Yeah. Wow. So I got to ask, because this was her first film, too, as a casting director, Robbie Reed.
Mm-hmm.
What was it about her that made you, you know, want to bring her on board and cast for this film?
Well, Robbie Reed, Ruth Carter.
Costume designer.
World designer. Mm-hmm. No, just did Black Panther. And Ray Dowell. They were all classmates at Hampton. They all knew each other.
Wow.
And they all worked in theater at Hampton.
Did you know that the film was going to be the success?
Yeah. I knew it.
Wow. Yeah. Got to ask, and I want to clear up some things here. You were asked to stop filming.
No, we were told.
You were told.
Asked.
Okay.
The late Morehouse president Uglas was not asking, he was telling us that we would not be allowed to shoot anymore on the Morehouse property. Spelman never allowed us on from the beginning. The majority of school days was shot at AU, Clark, and Morris Brown. I think it was like after 2 weeks, Morris kicked us off campus. We got to go.
Yeah. Want to clear something up. Will there be a sequel for this
No,
film?
This is going to be a Broadway musical of school days. A Broadway musical.
Okay. That was actually one of my questions, because in watching the film again last night.
I mean, people said that from the jump when it came out that this should be a play, yeah. A musical.
When I was watching it last night, it's been a while, and it's funny because I've seen the movie 1,000 times, but I watched it again for the first time.
Let me ask you a quick question.
Okay.
Have you ever seen it in a movie theater?
I did.
Well, I mean, that's I think, another reason why people should come out at the Fox is... If you haven't seen this in the movie theater, seen it projected, you really haven't seen the film.
Yeah.
And with the big screen that the Fox has, it's going to be an experience.
My mother made my brother take me with him and his friends. It was their date night. He did
How
not
old
want
you?
To take me. I was, 88. I had to be maybe 11, maybe 12.
And so you had what happened?
My brother
was on a date with his girlfriend?
It was him and his buddies. With their dates, and my mom said, you got to take Ray.
So you were blocking. The 11-year-old blocker.
And so...
Why you... I know your brother was mad at you. And I know his friends were even madder. Why your brother got to be here? My mother said I had to bring him. I know you just smacked them on the head. And I know you had a couple smacks on the head that night.
It was
right or wrong. Whoa, yes or no, yeah, yes or no.
Yes. And especially, and you know, the eye covering, you know, covering the eyes with the sex scenes and stuff like that. But I went with my brother. And for me,
Where was this?
This was in Orlando, Florida.
Orlando, Florida.
Mm-hmm. And, oh man, it was eye-opening for me, because no one in my immediate family at that point had gone to college, let alone HBCU, and I wasn't really familiar with the whole fraternity.
Where's Bethune-Cookman?
I learned about that later. Yes, about 50 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? When
what about Florida A&M? How far is that from you?
Tallahassee's like 4 hours away from Orlando.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But when we think of BCC, at that time we were calling it Bethune-Cookman College, we thought of Black Beach Week. So, you know, it was crazy, mm-hmm. which he used to go to that as well. And she made him, you know, take me to that as well.
He had to drag you everywhere. You're lucky to be alive.
Trust me. I've seen it all, especially at Black Beach Week. That was kind of reminiscent of the scene, the gymnasium scene, you know, with the butt.
Doing the butt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Got to ask you about that. Did you know that that was going to be as big? Because, you know, that song came out.
I made this dance. Made the dance up, and here's a story.
Okay.
I never heard go-go music before in my life. And I had a birthday party for me in L.A., and we flew out EU. No. Let me back up.
Okay.
We were screening. She's Gonna Have was opening in D.C. and we had a party at the 9:30 club, and that's where I was introduced to go-go. So this is when I'm really in pre-production thinking about what's next which was school days.
Right.
So I got to be, you know, EU, Sugar Bear, love them. And I met Marcus Miller. I said, Marcus, I want you to write this song for EU. It's called The Butt. He said, what's The Butt? I said, it's a dance. And that following year, at a birthday party in L.A., the club was called Funky Reggae. And EU performed, and we had a butt contest. And there was this woman on the speaker dancing, and I told security, get her down before she breaks her neck and I get sued. And so they got the lady down, and she started to curse me out in an accent I never heard before, and that was Rosie Perez. Walk in this place, surprise.
Cassie Davis here. You're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius. Take it away, Ray!
Check out the rest of my exclusive interview with award-winning filmmaker Spike Lee.
So, you mentioned Marcus Miller. You had so many dynamic artists that were featured in songs on the album. I mean, Phyllis Lee, Hyman. Yeah.
Phyllis Hyman's song called B1, composed by my father.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this, because this is a rumor I heard, but was it true that you wanted Anita Baker to perform that, or did you want Phyllis Hyman for that?
I don't remember. I don't think Anita hit it late, a little later.
Okay.
No, I don't.
That wasn't, yeah.
Nah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. But Marcus Miller, I mean, you had her. Your father helped to, you know.
Bill Lee.
Yeah, all of that stuff. Kenny Barron.
He did the score.
Yeah, Kenny Barron was on One Little Acorn, which is one of my favorites.
Yeah, my father, Bill Lee, did it. He went to Morehouse, too. He did the score for my films at NYU, graduate film at NYU. She's Gonna Have It, School Days, Do the Right Thing, Mo Better. And, you know, great, great composer.
Yeah. Now, I want to go back to something that you mentioned, School Days, the Broadway musical, because that was on my list. Because when I think about that, when I think of the amazing, and the step routines, I mean, just the compelling story, the issues that were being discussed.
No, we have to update some of those issues, like apartheid. You know, I mean, the thing about that, they're protesting apartheid beginning the movie, and apartheid never comes out the rest of the film. It was homecoming weekend.
Was that what was actually happening on campus at that time, or were
white
you just
campuses?
Yeah, but not HBCUs.
Nah, they weren't. They had no money to be divested of, apartheid.
Okay. A couple of the actors that have been featured in the film have passed away. Bill Nunn, of course, Ossie Davis. What is one of your fondest memories working with Bill Nunn? Because he's been in so many other movies after School Days.
Oh, Raider Raheem, which was the next film. Bill Nunn, also a Morehouse man, as is Samuel Jackson. So the house is up in that film. No, Bill was a funny cat, and we miss him. Bill Nunn.
Yeah.
Ray Raheem.
So I've got Dr. Eichelberg.
I mean, he has
here.
A funny line, and he has a funny line he ad-libbed. When he's trying to ring the sister back to his room,
yeah,
he says, "Shh, if you don't scream, I won't holler." There, and here's the thing about this: there's so many memorable lines in that film. So I'm just looking forward to being in a theater in the crowd. And I know people can be saying dialogue verbatim.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun. Like, big brother on my tea.
Yeah.
And one of the classic lines, and besides Wake Up, you know, when Big Brother My Tea, played by Giancarlo Esposito, the great Giancarlo Esposito, tells the character I played Half Pint, "You ain't seen no pause." Yeah.
or even the little song that they were doing when you guys were meeting up and they were trying to help you, you know, get yeah. Mm-hmm. Lots of memorable lines. Any other favorite memories or things that let me ask you this, because this
I got one.
Okay,
the step show.
Mm.
I mean, that fight at the step show was not that was not in the script. The great musician Branford Marsalis was going off the stage, and he grabbed Tisha Campbell by her weave, and it was a Donnybrook after that. That fight is real at the end.
Yeah, and I heard you said let the cameras keep rolling.
Yeah, Ernest Dickerson, my great cameraman. But, you know, here's the thing. A lot of the people in the film were first time, this is going to be their first film. And since most of the film was cast out in New York and L.A., they would not be home. And I did not want, since they're first-time actors, they're not really experienced. And so, being experienced, they would get chummy if everybody lived in the same hotel. So the groups were, there was split in two different groups. The wannabes, they got in a hotel. They were in a separate hotel, but the hotel was better than the other hotel. So the jigaboos got the cheaper hotel. And so this helped keep the antagonism between the two throughout the whole shoot.
And you did that on purpose.
On purpose.
Yeah. Got to ask you, when you look at it now, would you have done anything differently with the film?
I've said this before, that you can't do that stuff, do-overs. And the only thing that I do have is that, which we were kind of able to correct, we did correct, and She's Gonna Have on Netflix, is that the rape scene in She's Gonna Have It. Well, other than that, can't go back.
What did you personally learn when you shot that film, like that you maybe didn't know about yourself before?
Which film?
School Days.
I don't know which one you're talking about.
We're gonna get to She's Gotta Have It.
No, no. We've been doing this for three decades.
Yeah.
Which one are you talking about?
School Days.
Well, it was. I didn't really feel comfortable directing until Do the Right Thing. The first film, the first two, She's Gotta Have It, School Days. That was just,
So let me ask you this. What do you expect on February 19th? Because you're bringing School Days to the Fabulous Fox. You're going to be screening it for everyone to come out. You want all the Greeks. You put out a call on social media and was like, hey, I need you guys to show up. I need you guys to be there.
I mean, and we gave a shout out for the what they call it, the Divine Nine.
Yeah.
But you don't have to go to black school or be Greek. Just come on out. If you're a fan of the film. It's gonna be a historic night, and you'll want to be part of it. It's gonna be fun. It's gonna be lit. It's gonna be lit.
One more question. I hear this, and I see it now, going back and watching the film as an adult. But you were way ahead of your time in terms of talking about a lot of issues that were going on.
Wake up! Tomorrow woke. We were saying wake up, 88.
Yeah.
88. We were saying wake up.
Do you think we're woke now? Do you think we're?
Well, I hope so. I mean, we're. I always thought that you could tell the state of black people by the music that we make. So I'll just leave it at that.
Wow, that says a lot.
Look at the music that we're doing at the time, and I think that's a great indicator of where we are as a people.
We're here at a jazz station, so I got to ask you. Mm-hmm. Jazz has always been that other character in all of your films. You've
thank you, Daddy.
And I learned about jazz that way. I mean, I really credit.
I mean, a lot of people said this. They weren't really checking for jazz till they saw Mo Betta. And that's for me. That's a sad thing. I'm not bragging, but that's. But look, I've been very fortunate that I've been able to have a little impact on people's lives. For example, I said earlier, people said. Never thought about going to college or going even, they knew there was a black school at the school days. People had never picked up the autobiography of Malcolm X as told to Alex Haley before the film came out. People weren't really checking for jazz till Mo Betta. So, I think that's part of the legacy you have to talk about too. I don't think it could be narrowed down to just back the box office, but the effect it has for the culture. So even before we had the phrase for the culture, we've been doing that, from the get. 1986, which She's Gonna Have It.
Want to know, when you watch a Spike Lee film, there are certain things about it that you automatically know it's a Spike Lee film. Mm-hmm. And the one thing
signatures.
That stands out, yeah, those signature things, is the people are standing still and it's like
the double dolly shot.
Yeah. Where did that come? How did that come about?
I didn't make that up. It's been done before, but Ernest Dickerson and I, my ace cameraman, we were on the set for Mo Betta, and my character, Giant, had to walk, and we said, well, let's just try this. I mean, again, we did not make that up, but we've made it a signature, though. You put the camera on the dolly, and you move.
Yeah.
It's simple.
It's crazy, because sometimes when I'm walking through Atlanta streets, and I'm listening to music, I imagine I imagine that I'm floating. That I'm moving through the streets, you know, on the dolly.
But here's the thing, though. People, at first, not everybody liked that. Crooklyn, the stuff, you know, when in Crooklyn, when she goes down south, we put on an anamorphic lens, which would stress the image. People went berserk. People were like trying to get in the projection booth. You know, what is wrong? So we've done, you know, laid the example. My own family, you know, they saw early cuts of She's Gonna Have It. And when they saw that in the middle of the show, we showed the album cover, they're like, my son said, Daddy, you're not going to have credits at the end for the music? Why are you? People love that now. That never been done before. Where in the middle of a show, you show the album cover.
Yeah.
That never been done before. Ever.
So let me ask you, what drives you? Because you have been blazing a trail for years.
Okay, I can answer that right now. What drives me is that I'm doing what I love. It's sad but true. The majority of the people on this earth go to their grave have to work at jobs they hate it. Hate it. So if you can make a living doing what you love, that's a win. It's a win.
All right. Well, Mr. Spike Lee, I thank you so much. You're going to be appearing at the fabulous Fox Theater.
Fabulous. The world famous
that's
Fox.
Right. Fox Theater, February 19th.
President's Day. White President's Day. Dead White President's Day.
Yeah. 30th anniversary screening of School Days.
And, yes. Doors open at 6 p.m. Screening starts at 7 p.m. depending upon ATL CP time.
And you want people to sing along. You want people to recite
dance,
the
lines. Dance, have a good time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be interaction. It's going to be like back in the day. You ever go see Rocky Horror Show back in the day?
I have not.
You heard about
that.
It?
I know about it, but I did not.
It's going to be like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was fun back in the day. Rocky Horror, everybody know the lyrics, and it was people interacting with the screen, what's going on the screen. It's going to be the same thing. And then Sunday night we're doing it with two sold out screens in BAM in Brooklyn.
Wow. Okay.
So really, I'm not keeping 100, HUNIT 100. I didn't think Atlanta first. Brooklyn's down a block from my neighborhood. BAM. But when people saw that on Instagram down here, they said, "Yo, Spike, what's up? You got to come down to Atlanta." So called up the Fox. They said, bet that to make sure that the dates were clear. And we're in there.
Yeah.
Like swimwear.
Well, Mr. Lee, thank you so very much for stopping by.
WCLK.
Yeah, 91.9. We so appreciate that. And again, congratulations. This movie changed my life and changed the lives of so many people.
Thank you.
And we're so
coming?
Happy. I will be there.
You doing the butt?
I will be there doing the butt.
Doing the butt?
All right. Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you so much for listening to today's show. I'd really like to thank my special guest, Spike Lee. I would also like to thank my engineer, Mark Angel, and you. Please join us next Saturday, February 24th at 9 a.m. for another exciting edition of Upfront. I'll be talking to the cast of The Chi, Black Lightning, and King Headley II. Happy Saturday, Atlanta. If you like today's show, please hit us up at WCLK.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, has been brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station 91.9 FM WCLK, an NPR member-supported station.